Welcome to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. In this podcast, we'll explore trends, issues, and events surrounding Lutheran education. In each episode, we'll invite educational experts to shed light on topics that support educators, administrators, and staff. Thank you for listening to LSEM's Lutheran Education Podcast.
Welcome to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. I'm your host, Rich Schumacher. I am the Senior Director of Operations at LSEM, and we are very happy to have back on the podcast once again the Superintendent of Schools for the Michigan District, Travis Grueke. I was going to call you Dr. Travis Grueke, but do you have a doctorate yet, Travis?
I do not. Not in the plans anytime soon.
All right. So if anyone at a Concordia is out there listening to this, honorary doctorate for Travis, I think is required. Let's make that happen, folks. Let's make it happen. Travis, thanks for coming on. Appreciate you taking the time. I know you've got a busy schedule always, but great that you carve out some time for us.
Good to be here. I'm blessed to share a little bit.
Right. So let's go ahead and just get this out of the way right away. I know there's been a lot of talk amongst Lutheran circles over the last several months about Concordia Ann Arbor, about the situation going on there with Concordia, Wisconsin, a lot of information going out, a lot of talk, a lot of interest in all of that. What can you share in terms of where things stand right now with the university and the future?
Oh, yeah, great opening.
First of all, softball question to start, right?
Is this being recorded? No, I'm just kidding. The situation at Concordia Ann Arbor, we obviously love this campus. It's a huge part of our Michigan district, a part of our synod, a part of the Ohio Indiana district, all of our partnering places. And we just want to see it thrive. We want to see it grow. We don't want to see anything happen to it where programs and things are cut, where that place can't continue to be a blessing to all kinds of students and Christians and Lutherans and everybody across the board. So, there's a lot of challenges still in play. We're having a day here coming up, April 27th on the campus, to be a day where we can have a quick little worship service around 12:30 and give thanks and praise to our God, but also hear from Reverend Dr. Ryan Peterson to share a little bit about some of these challenges that are still facing the university. It's more than just money. It's more than just some of that. It's all kinds of things that I know we've been talking about. Can Concordia be its own university? And they had that announcement on March 1st and where that's going. I'll be honest, it's a little concerning. Some of the decisions that have been made since then with getting rid of a few programs and some other different things that make it a little bit more challenging to see how the future can continue there and be positive. But I know we got some great people working. President Davis has done a fantastic job of trying to just mediate and share and lift up that university in different ways. So we're praying for the Board of Regents that they get some great information and make some decisions that further kingdom growth and further the gospel message being shared with young people on a daily basis when they have their meetings coming up here in May and June.
So again, this podcast is being released on Tuesday, the 23rd of April. So this Saturday. So we're talking about just a couple of days. I know short notice if you listen to the podcast, but again, if this is something that is important to you, near and dear to your heart, Concordia, do make an effort to attend this chapel service. And again, Dr. Peterson should have more information about where things stand. Like he's going to be taking some questions from the group too. Is that correct, Travis?
Yep. Yeah. He'll do some question and answers, kind of get a chance to hear from all of us too. And hopefully we'll pack the chapel, the Holy Trinity.
Yep. And so again, definitely try to attend. If you cannot attend, definitely keep CUAA in your prayers, all the faculty, the leadership there and leadership at the Michigan District. Again, President Davis, as Travis was saying, I'm sure this is weighing heavily. A big part of the responsibility is that a lot of folks at the Michigan District are wrestling with at this point. So please keep all of those leaders in your prayers as well as they look to try and find resolution. And for that matter, Concordia, Wisconsin, you know, let's not turn this into something adversarial by any stretch. There are some different views on what should be done, but ultimately we're all still serving the same great God, and it's his campus ultimately, and so we just want to do what's best to be able to glorify his name in all of this.
Agreed.
All right. So now that we got the easy questions out of the way, so one of the things that that Travis, I'm sure you get to do a lot in your job. I mean, you're talking with schools all over. You're discussing all sorts of issues, both, you know, concerns and problems, but also some things that are celebratory that are good. But one of the things that I think that you also are able to do is to provide a lot of education for different schools on various topics. I know board training is something that I think your position has handled over the course of time. You've done some professor work across the street at Concordia Ann Arbor as well. But you also do some training in terms of some other topics. So initially brought you onto the podcast to talk about some of those topics and things that you discussed. So just for the listeners that are out there, what are some of the topics that that you will travel and speak on that you can provide information for at conferences or at schools or whatever?
Yeah, I get, you know, obviously we do a lot of conferences here in the Michigan district, so we're always looking for sectionals, and people say, Travis, why don't you lead some topic on this or that, and they share some different things. So for quite a while, you know, it was really on our hearts and minds with this life of harmony, and I did that for quite a different places, sectionals, breakouts, and talking about kind of five areas where, not balance, I don't like that word, but more harmony and how we're maintaining that in our lives, and so we did that quite a bit. Got asked to do some different things with our calling. You know, how are we serving in our Lutheran schools? I'm actually going to do a little keynote for our early childhood people on that. We're going to have like 500 of our early childhood. I say ladies because they're almost all ladies. That'll be in Frankenmuth there in August. And I'm just going to remind them of what it means to be serving in a Lutheran early childhood center. And that calling, that I don't care if you're rostered or not rostered in terms of that big C call, but you are placed there by God to be a servant. So I'm looking forward to that too. And One I've got asked a lot about is decision making. So I used to use some Andy Stanley stuff and do some different things with decision making. And then somebody asked me, said, you're always talking about the seven habits of highly effective people, Travis. I believe that is the greatest book in terms of leadership and personal development ever written. If you've not read it, I always say, go home and repent, you sinners. Pick up the book and read it, because it's by far the best one that we have, I think, out there to just remind us of what it means to be just leadership end, but also just personal growth and how I'm a parent, how am I a brother, a son, all those different ways. So that's the one we've kind of developed recently, but I've focused it on the seven habits of highly effective educators. And we take the seven habits and we break them apart and just hit some of the highlights of how it touches our lives as teachers, and school leaders, reminding us of the daunting but amazing task we have every day of sharing and teaching and sharing the gospel with students every day.
All right. So we're going to come back and spend a little bit more time on the seven habits of effective educators. No, we're not going to give everybody a free vision of Travis's presentation. You still got to book him and schedule him to come out to your events. But I want to just double back real quick to your point about the difference between balance and harmony. Because again, I've heard you talk about this, and I think there's great value in that, because again, a lot of people do talk about having balance in their life and that being such an important goal, but you've got a different take on that. Would you mind sharing a little bit of your thoughts in terms of what the differences are between those two terms and why harmony might be a better approach than just shooting for balance?
Yeah, and all great ideas we steal, right? So I've just heard this from several different great leaders and kind of stolen and morphed it into my thoughts, but balance is impossible for me in my position, and for most educators, most leaders, most people who have a job that's pretty demanding, to think that I'm going to balance my week with family and personal life and then my work life, it doesn't work. It just leads to just feeling guilty that I can't even things out. So I want you to think of that word of harmony, meaning that how do I make sure that I am not going way too and far in one direction, but I'm having some harmony in my life. So if I recognize over the next couple of weeks, man, my work week is going to be demanding, and my ability to be dad to my three daughters over the next couple of weeks is going to be a little bit challenging. So I got to find some time to put some harmony in my life where I maximize that quality time with my three daughters, or with my wife. And really maximize those things, recognizing that I better then look at my calendar and figure out some extra time down the road after that season of 3 weeks of craziness where I can pour into them a little bit extra and ask God to help me to find that direction to do that. So think of that harmony idea, and not that scale of a balance where I give 10 hours here, I got to give 10 hours there. That's not realistic. We got to make sure that we're just harmonizing those.
And I think my takeaway from that has always been, when it comes to balance, if you're targeting balance, you're emphasizing the schedule. Because now what you're doing is you're trying to say 8 hours a day for sleep, 8 hours a day for work, 8 hours a day for family. Again, that in and of itself is difficult to impossible. Schedules just don't allow you to do that. But if the target, you can provide balance. You could very easily say, tomorrow, I'm going to spend 2 hours with my wife. I'm going to spend 2 hours with each of my three daughters. That's only 8 hours of your 24. So plenty of time to be able to do that. But if the 2 hours you spend with your wife is, I don't know, cleaning out the garage, is that really what you're looking for? Is that creating harmony? Is that creating a good connection? Or is that, just a chore that needs to be done around the house, And what are you getting out of that as well? If you start to look at balance as being the target, now you're feeling obligated to, I have to spend an hour or two doing this thing, which I don't really like, but my kid likes it or whatever. So I'm paying the bill, as opposed to building the relationship, making the connection, growing, developing. Harmony is all about the relationship. It's all about doing those things that are going to grow you, grow them, things that years from now you'll look back. I really hope and pray that that you and Lori don't ever look back and say, hey, remember that Saturday that we cleaned the garage? Oh, good times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So again, I always thought that was kind of a key part to that as well. Harmony is so much more important because it's based on people.
Yeah, great. Take you on the road with me next time I do that. You can chime in there for sure.
I can carry your bags as good as anybody.
Yeah, right.
We're talking with Travis Grucke from the Michigan District Superintendent of Schools here in the Michigan District. Real quick, let's just do a couple other topics, and then we'll, after the break, hop into the seven habits here, if you don't mind. Tell me a little bit about what's going on in the Michigan District. What exciting things are happening with Michigan District high schools, elementary schools, early childhood centers? What's new and shaking?
Yeah, we've got some fantastic teachers, and that's A number one, and leaders, principals, pastors across the board. That here in the Michigan District, our 350 or so congregations, our 140 or so schools, man, we're just abundantly blessed with the way God is using them in some mighty ways. We've got some angst coming from Lansing in terms of our state capitol with different things that we are continuing to be advocates for, to remind her of what non-public schools are, and our state and house legislators as well. But despite some of those maybe public angst that happens in the news and things here in the state of Michigan, we've got great things taking place. We're always looking for educators, as you know, Rich. You're doing for LSEM in other ways. Finding some great quality workers. But man, quick little story. We brought in 26 new teachers to our Lutheran schools last year. So they were veterans, but these were 26 veteran teachers that had been in public or charter or other areas, but they're new to Lutheran education, and had a day with them and tell them about what Lutheran education is. And we asked them, what do you love most and about being in a Lutheran school? And almost every single one said, we love the environment. We wouldn't trade it for the world. It's completely different than what we were doing last year. All these different things. And it was just a reminder again of, despite what we think our challenges, man, God continues to have our Lutheran schools just lifted up and elevated, and the way they continue to be a blessing to students and families and to our teaching staff is incredible. So that's number one, is finding teachers and just thinking about what does education look like down the road here. Always looking to improve, never want to stay the way we are. Obviously, we're rooted and grounded on some of those tried and true traditional practices, but what are some ways we continue to be unique and offer great things to our communities? And I love the educators, and especially the principals and early childhood directors we have in our schools.
Yeah, just want to piggyback on some of that again. folks in other districts, other states where perhaps the state government is a little more friendly to non-public schools. Right now, Michigan, we're just in a situation where, again, budgets are coming up every year, and the administration that's in there is oftentimes looking to try and find cuts, and sometimes those come at the expense of our non-public schools. One of the things I've admired about Travis since you've been the superintendent here in Michigan is that's always been something that you've had an active interest in. You're interested in, building those relationships in government, in at the state level, at the local levels, to advocate for our schools. And again, I think that's something that maybe not every district, again, not every state has to, because some are, just a little bit more friendly to non-publics. But if there's anyone out there listening who is maybe trying to figure out, what are some ways to be more of an advocate for non-public schools, whether they're in Michigan or elsewhere, what are some topics or some tips that you might give them to be able to do more to help secure? Because again, you're only ever one election away from the situation going from being really friendly to being more of a struggle.
Yeah, definitely. We as Lutherans got to be involved in the public square. I think we've always kind of shied away a little bit. Our Catholic brothers and sisters are way ahead of the ball game on this than us. And we're grateful here in Michigan. Man, we partner with our Catholic brothers and sisters and our Christian Reformed on the west side of the state and other ways. We have our Michigan Association of Non-Public Schools, which brings us all together as an advocate and a voice in Lansing. I'm blessed to be able to serve as on that executive team of that. And we forget that these elected officials are just like you and me. They're not any different. And it can be intimidating to go and talk with them and different things, but they want to hear from you. So it's just having those conversations. Always encourage our schools to invite your elected officials to come visit your school. They want to be there. I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever they are. Bring them on your campus and show the great things that are happening. They're serving your families too. Your tax dollars are blessing our communities and our state as well. So make those invitations, I think, is number one. Sure. And don't be shy and afraid to have those conversations. And find out at your local level, what are those advocacy groups that you align with, that you can partner with, and have that collective community voice as well. That's a little more powerful voice too.
Excellent. Good advice. And then to kind of touch also on the teaching, the hiring process. Again, with my role at LSEM, 10 years now, I've been hiring teachers to come in, and in many cases, difficult positions. Some of the schools that we're hiring in are in fairly remote locations, and we're looking to hire somebody in who's extremely part-time. So someone who's got a special education background and a teaching certificate and wants to work three mornings a week, that's not the easiest thing to find, and certainly it eliminates for us the ability to go and use CMIFs and go through our rostering process, because there just aren't that many called workers or graduates coming out of our Concordias who are looking for a really part-time job. So we've had to do a lot of that stuff that you're talking about. And again, I can just completely support what you're saying in terms of the teachers, by and large, when they come into a Lutheran school setting for the first time. Again, no knock on the settings that they were in prior, but 99% of them come in and are just blown away. Can't believe that schools can be like this. Love the culture, love the people, love the atmosphere, love the students. Because again, yep, in many cases, the major crises that we're dealing with in Lutheran schools were very minor, almost constant things that they were dealing with in their previous settings. And the major stuff that they were seeing at their schools, we just don't tend to see in our Lutheran schools. So it's kind of like how with COVID, a lot of the families were forced to come to Lutheran schools for whatever reason, and then found that they really liked it and then stuck around. I think the same is very true with teachers, and I've seen it in my role over the last 10 years, that when they come into our setting, they're surprised pleasantly by what they see. And I can't tell you how many teachers were going to, I'll do this for a year or two as kind of a pre-retirement or a step into retirement gig. And then they stick around for 4, 5, 6 years because they just like it so much. They don't want to stop.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. Preach it. Amen.
So, all right. Last topic before we take the break here, we'll just go ahead and get this one out of the way again. Most important one. What are you expecting this year out of East Lansing with the Spartan football team?
Yeah, go green.
Go white.
First of all, new coach. So new coach means new life, means we're reborn. With the transfer portal and everything else, probably not going to know anybody on the team. So it's going to be learning from square one. We got a quarterback, allegedly. He brought with him a fantastic quarterback. So that's the key. We'll be able to, hold off the mighty Wolverines this year. Maybe not, but who knows? We may surprise somebody and throw a few things out there. And let's make a bowl. Let's make a bowl as our goal.
I obviously fair assessment, and I think a definite possibility. You brought in a good coach. Seems to be building things the right way there. About 102 days ago, the Wolverines did, in fact, win a little trophy. It was nice.
Yes.
And again, obviously, new coach, new life in Ann Arbor as well. And it sounds like the NCAA has decided that cheeseburgers really aren't program closing offenses. So that's good news for everyone in Ann Arbor as well. But should be a good year for both teams, I think. Again, maybe different goals in terms of what they're aspiring to. But I think the Spartans are coming back. But go Blue. I think it's going to be another successful year, and maybe we can get a fourth straight victory over that team from down south.
The odds are in your favor for sure, but it'll be interesting both sides. I mean, new coaches for you too. New, you lost a lot of weapons, so it'll be fun to see what happens this fall.
All right, so for those of you in the podcast who really can't stand sports, please stick around. We're done with the sports conversation there, but we'll take a break now and come back and talk about 7 Habits of Effective Educators. We're talking with Travis Grucke, the Superintendent of Schools for the Michigan District, here on the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries.
Lutheran Special Education Ministries is an organization committed to serving schools, churches, and families to advance the success of children who have learning needs. Our commitment to this mission began with the opening of the Lutheran School for the Deaf in Detroit. Over the years, our ministry has expanded, and today LSEM is proud to serve in Lutheran schools across the country. But as our ministry has grown, our commitment to helping students succeed academically in an environment where they can also grow spiritually is as strong as ever. So if your church or school is looking for professional development for your faculty, information to share with struggling families, or for a ministry partner to support an existing resource room or start a new one, LSEM is ready to help you meet your specialized learning goals. For more information about how LSEM can help you build brighter futures for your students, please contact us at 248-419-3390 or visit our website at www.luthsped.org. That's www.luthsped.org.
And welcome back to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. Continuing our conversation with Travis Grucke, Superintendent of Schools for the Michigan District. Travis is like your third or fourth appearance in the podcast now. So welcome back. Glad to have you here. I think we should probably have a gift bag or package or something when you hit number 5. So look forward to getting that here in the future.
I'll expect that in my office. Yes.
All right. I'll ask Jennifer to help me get that arranged.
Sounds good.
You want it to be maize or blue?
I choose that. No, green and white, as you know.
Absolutely. And we said no more sports talk, so I gotta be honest and leave it there. All right. 7 Habits of Effective Educators. Again, based on the 7 Habits from Stephen Covey's book. So modifying that over into education, tell us about that process, what that looked like, and give us an overview of what those 7 habits are for effective educators.
Yeah. If you've never read the book, again, it's a little lengthy. There are other versions, by the way, multiple versions now, teens and kids and everything else. The teen version, I always joke with people and say, if you want the Cliff Notes version, read the teen version. It's got pictures and colors and all kinds of stuff like that. But the original book has those 7 habits, lays them out pretty well. And it's just about 7 habits of you as an individual, personal life, professional life, and back and forth. So read the book several times, and I just thought, what can we steal out of here that relates really to teachers, educators, school leaders? So I just went through the book again, looked at a lot of stuff, highlighted, and really tried to grab some of the the most important parts that I think touch on the lives of educators inside and outside of the classroom. And the little presentation based off those, be proactive, begin with the end in mind, put first things first, think win-win, seek first to understand, right, before being understood, synergize, and obviously that last one, sharpen the saw. And we just take those seven and then break them apart into those little chunks and have a little dialogue together when we present.
So of those seven, if you had to pick one that you think is most important, I mean, I'm sure it's like, trying to pick your favorite child. And if your kids are listening to this, please turn the mute button on right now. but if you had to pick one of those seven to really focus on here for today, which one would you say is probably the key?
For educators, I'd probably start with that first one, that be proactive, that aspect of how are you making sure you're getting things done? He kind of uses that little phrase, make things happen instead of waiting for them to happen to you. And as teachers, we think behavior management, we think assessment, we think parent-teacher conferences, we think all those interactions, those emails. I want to make things happen. I want to be leading that way instead of sit back and then just stuff happens. And mm-hmm. It doesn't make my day go well, my week, my semester, and things just start snowballing.
That proactive nature, again, in so many areas. Again, the first thing that popped into my mind was, again, parent communication. Oh, my goodness. A lot of folks have an open door policy, but open door policy tends to be pretty passive because in order for that to work, you're relying upon the parent to be the active one to walk through the door. And when they come walking in the door, you're the target. You don't know what they're coming in for. You don't know where it's going to go. And they've probably had a few minutes, if not a few hours, if not a few days to formulate their thoughts, stew on it, get good and worked up, and then draw the courage to come into your office. So by the time you get to that point, they've built up an awful lot of baggage to go along with whatever the topic is. And you're doing mop-up duty before you can ever get to actually hearing and solving the problem and trying to be effective. So that proactivity is really critical in so many areas.
Yeah, it dives into two. In that first chapter there, and we steal this and we talk about this with the educators, he uses that word responsibility and he breaks it apart. It's your responsibility.
Great.
And that all of us had that ability to choose. And he talks about Viktor Frankl, from the concentration camps, and how he talks about that idea of you always had the freedom to choose your response, no matter how negative that circumstance is, no matter how ticked off that parent email is, whatever that may be. We always have that ability to choose our response. And as educators, so important that we are responding and not reacting. And we talk about that quite a bit and dives in perfectly to when we got some parents or some others that are a little bit upset with us.
And I think that response versus reaction always seems to bring with it emotion. And emotional reactionary responses don't usually end up in a good place. That usually ends up in bigger problems moving down the road.
Yep, for sure, for sure. And another little part that we ties into that too, man, you're giving these nice little segues perfectly. In that chapter, one of my favorite little quotes is, we need to make sure that we carry our weather with us. Proactive people always carry their weather with them. And we've been on teaching staffs. I've had some, and we have kind of those Eeyores that are on staff. I use that word Eeyore now, and some of our young educators don't know who that is. So I got to remind him and show him a little picture of who Eeyore is and what he's all about. But no matter what's happening, everything is terrible. Oh, everything is awful. But great educators, highly effective educators, carry their weather with them. That means their outside circumstances are not impacting their ability to be amazing sunshine in those classrooms with students, no matter what. Our friend Ted Knightsky, who's done a lot of stuff with us, for our leadership things, and he reminds us, you can't have a bad day. You can have a bad minute, you can have a bad few minutes, but those students in your classroom cannot afford you to have a bad day. So that's why we carry our weather with us. And as educators, we got to be doing that as best we can.
Yeah, because again, anything that happens to you during the course of a given day, I just cannot envision a situation where something bad happens that lasts for a continual 24 hours. And please, that's not a request for people listening to send me emails to prove me wrong. But again, if walking out of the house, I have a rough interaction with my wife or my child. And on the way to work, I get cut off in traffic, or, you know, yeah, those are things that can kind of lead to saying, oh, yeah, I'm having a bad morning, I'm having a bad day. No, I might have had a bad commute. But once I pulled the keys out of the car in the parking lot, commute's done. So you're making that choice to carry your weather to either, yep, I'm going to take the emotion from that drive and let that fuel the next half hour, hour, 8 hours, whatever. But that's a choice. The person has made the choice to do that, where the event that created the bad moment has passed, it's gone. It's just a matter of whether you're choosing to let it linger in your day and then affect everything else that you've got going on, or to say, all right, next, moving on.
Yep. Agreed. And Covey, he dives into that chapter too, and we share this little diagram, which other people have now just used in all kinds of different ways. But that whole idea of your circle of control, you know, your circle of influence, which is a little bit, you know, and then you got your circle of concern. But man, you're really, your circle of control is a lot smaller than we think. And those things that we actually control in terms of what impacts us on a daily basis, especially as teachers, is a lot smaller than we think. So he always talks about how do we can't always expand that circle of control, but we can expand that circle of influence. And how do we use that to better our classroom, better our school, better our students and families, and make that role grow. And as that circle of influence grows, that circle of concern begins to shrink. All those outside influences that just hammer at me in different ways, that begins to shrink. And as an educator, I want to do as much as I can to shrink that as I grow my circle of influence with my fellow teachers and educators and parents and families.
We're talking with Travis Grueke, superintendent of schools here in the Michigan District, on the podcast. Again, looking at
Effective educators. Yep.
That's what I meant to say. Just didn't come out that right. So, but thank you for fixing that. So Dave, you don't have to fix this. That's not one of the 19. So one of the other ones that you brought up that I really am intrigued by, and again, has been kind of very an important one for me in my ministry, is that idea of understanding versus being understood. Can you talk a little bit more about what that means? What some of the basis for that?
I hope my wife is not listening to this, because if she does, she'll know that I'm not so great at this sometimes. man,
was that Lori or Lisa?
Good old joke. Good old joke. I like it. The idea that you and I, man, especially in our society where we think we want to fix things, we want to do things, we want to tell you my opinion back and forth, that art of listening, that art of being able to just sit and listen, and the power to be able to ask great questions. I mean, I think great leaders, the ones that are influential in my life, they have such a strong ability to ask great questions, which allows me to think about what I'm doing. So we have to always make sure that we're understanding where somebody else is before I try to get my point across to you. And teachers in classrooms, that works with all students, but especially those students that really want to get to us a little bit and really challenge us. We got to try to do all we can. And he hits on a topic that I love, the whole emotional bank account. And other people, again, have stolen over the years and changed with many. He's kind of shared this idea that teachers in particular need to deposit as much as they can, some amazing deposits on a daily basis with students. And the more I deposit, it builds up that emotional bank account. So when I need to withdraw, when I need to discipline, when I need to kind of share a challenging thing for a student, I've got some collateral built up. Yep. And unfortunately, teachers don't do those emotional bank deposits. And we think of my title, therefore they must behave and listen to me, which is part of that there. But if I have that emotional bank account, especially with those squirrely students occasionally, I've got the collateral to withdraw.
And I think that's applicable to any level of education. But if there are middle school teachers listening to this, take this down, write it down, go back, play this again, because that is just absolute gold for working with seventh and eighth graders. Again, much of my teaching career was with that group, and I really tried on a lot of levels to have that approach with kids. So let's say that, again, I was off to a bad start to my day, and I knew within myself I was in a lousy mood. I would always, when that was happening, go in front of the class and just say, guys, I'm just going to be a little honest with you today. I'm having a rough morning. I've had some stuff happen this morning personally that's in my head. I'm not feeling great, whatever the situation is. I need a little grace today. I need a little help today to kind of, I'll get out of it, but I need you to help me get out of it. So just give me a few minutes here. If I feel like, if you seem like a little off, I just throw it out there, because now two things happen. One, they have an understanding of where I'm coming from, where I'm at, and they're going to want to help me. So at least they know, look, now's not the time to pull out my new joke material or try and push anything with that. But for me personally, because I've spoken it, I've stated it to the group, now it forces me to, well, Rich, you just can't continue to deal with it. You can't continue to wallow in this because you've told them your goal is to get out of it.
Yep.
And so over the course of the next 15, 20, 30 minutes max, I usually found myself out of that funk, in a better place. You know, students are understanding and helping me get to that point. But again, it just comes down to that simple wanting to be able to do that. And what was really cool about that was, on the flip side, I would start to see students doing that same thing to me. Remember one student in particular, his name was Matt. He was one of the smart, if not the smartest student I ever had. Just really, really gifted when it came to his academic abilities. He also had ADHD. And he was a kid who you knew the second walking in, if they ran out of meds in the morning, or if he forgot to take it before he got out of the car, whatever the case may be. And so when I would recognize that, it was always, all right, gear up, you know, or hey, go down to the office, because I know you take one at noon, call mom, let her know so we can get that arranged. But if there was a time where he didn't have that med, it got to the point where he would come in and he would tell me, all right, Mr. Schumacher, I didn't take my meds this morning. I forgot my med this morning. And so he would call that out. And then by saying that, same thing in reverse. All right, Matt, I'm going to give you a little bit of latitude. I'm going to help you out today. So if I see you starting to get a little fidgety, I'm going to find a reason to get you up out of your chair, go deliver this to the office, go get a drink. I'm going to help you with that. But I wouldn't have known that if he didn't have the ability to come and just come out and flat out tell me, hey, look, this is where I'm at. And that year, we were in a departmentalized setting. So my first hour class was in a different classroom. So him coming to me to tell me that this is where he was at gave me the ability to go to the teacher coming in, who a little more of an old school guy, a little more strict one. I could set him up to say, hey, here's the news. I'm just telling you up front. So that way I didn't get back to my classroom and see Matt's name on the board with three checks and, you know, two detentions and a demerit and a sentencing hearing coming up later in the day. Made a world of difference. But again, he just followed my lead because I stumbled on the ability to say, hey, this is where I'm at.
Yep. Amen. Amen. And provides empathy. And empathy is what we want to have as best we can. And having that heart of empathy, being able to start the day with devotions, all those ways allows us to do that.
And empathy doesn't necessarily mean a free pass. There's still requirements. There's still, you know, you have to follow the procedures, but it certainly provides a different approach because, again, that emotion comes out of it. That desire to, I'm going to nail this kid, comes out of it. So it really makes a big difference there.
Definitely.
It also, I think, impacts, I'm sorry, I'm kind of jumping in here, but I think it also impacts relationships that we have as teachers with our colleagues and others. If I can tell a quick story, true story, and I don't think I've ever told this story publicly. So again, if President Meyer, former President Meyer, is listening, again, just, you know, tell this one out. Years ago, I had an opportunity to meet with President Meyer on an issue, and again, district presidents are very busy people, and this particular topic got kicked down the road a while, and then the response to what it was happening changed from what was agreed upon or from what my understanding was going to be. So it was a really negative outcome to a meeting that I thought was going to go a different way. And then months of no information just total misunderstanding in that respect. So I ended up scheduling a meeting to come into the district office and meet with him to address this. And I have to admit, I was coming in hot. Travis Kelce going and yelling at Andy Reid, that level. I was coming in hot. And I had a chance to have lunch one day with a colleague, Dr. Harv Schmidt. So if you know Harv, he and I were having lunch. And I just happened to mention that I was going to have this meeting. And I gave him a little bit of a rundown of, you know, what the meeting was about and why I was going in there. And I think he got a sense from my emotional state at that point that, yeah, I was going to go in there and, you know, wreak some havoc. And he was, you know, just in the only way Harv can do, he was very quick to kind of just, all right, let me give you some advice. Go in, and the second you walk in the door, offer forgiveness. And I'm sitting there thinking, but I don't want it. And he said, Rich, I know you probably don't want it. So I was like, he's reading my mind as we're having this conversation. Go in and offer forgiveness, because he's going to recognize that there is already an issue or a problem there. And he's going to feel bad that, you know, for his part of how that happened. So go ahead and offer forgiveness immediately. Okay. Then every question that you ask, frame it in a way to seek understanding. Don't go in making accusations. Don't come in expressing your feelings. Go in and just ask questions of, help me understand the decision that was made. Help me understand the process. Help me understand where we go from here. And so, again, as I had a little bit of time to think about it, I thought, all right, I trust Harv. What he's saying makes sense. And that's exactly what I did. Went in, and sure enough, President Meyer meets me at his office door and immediately starts to jump in to apologize. And I said, no, not necessary. Forgiveness, you know, let's talk, but don't worry about that. We're good.
Yep.
And then I asked those questions seeking understanding, and he was able to provide me answers. You know, I wasn't pressuring him. I was able to be respectful of his position, but yet get what I needed out of that meeting. It took the emotion out of it, which was the key thing, the critical thing for me. And I can honestly say from that day since, President Meyer has been a really solid friend. You know, that whole idea of winning someone over and being a friend to them, that has really been the case. You know, I've had an exceptionally strong relationship with former President Meyer since then. And it's all because Harv told me to do this, and I was smart enough to listen to him. It certainly wasn't because I had the strength to do it, but that whole idea of, again, seeking understanding, what a critically important tool for all of our teachers to do. Anytime you go into a, you know, another teacher's goofed up a schedule, seek understanding. Parent coming, seek understanding. You know, I'm trying to understand, you know, where you're at. It's less accusatory, and it allows that person to come in with a sense of, we're partnering to solve a problem. We're going to attack the issue, not each other. Huge, huge advice. So thank you, Harv, for sharing that. And again, I just really, again, based on those seven, that's always been a huge thing for me there. Sorry, I'm interrupting.
Nope, great advice. Yep.
So if somebody wanted to have you come out and speak, whether it's at their school, church, conference, whatever, what's the best way for them to be able to get in touch with you to do that?
Our Michigan District website obviously has my email on there. My cell phone, somebody has my email. Talk to the ed exec of some other district. They got my email too, but michigandistrict.org, find the staff. Travis.Grucki@michigandistrict.org is my email, and pretty quick to get a hold of me there.
All right. And it is end of April. We've got about 6 weeks left in the school year here, so we're ramping down. We're winding down real good. Any message you want to give out to those educators as they're heading into the home stretch, going into the summer, just some words of wisdom from their superintendent to close out their school years?
Yeah. End strong. Don't do so many countdowns and everything else. I know the last day is amazing, right? We got summer vacation to look forward to, and we all there, but man, end strong. Treat those last few days just like the first couple of days. Have that passion and fire to make sure that the students remember those last couple of days, and have some fun with them as well in those last few events, and enjoy the sunshine. Get outside in those beautiful days with extra recess.
I was just going to ask, any district required extra recesses coming out here in the upcoming weeks?
I believe we're going to have one here in the beginning of May, it looks like. So we'll definitely have a declared extra recess day that I'll shoot out. We'll see if your principals ignore me, but I'll at least blast it out.
All right, principals, you're on warning. You've been told it's coming. Travis, thank you again. Can't tell you how much I appreciate the time that you're able to share, and the wisdom and the leadership that you provide, not only to the Michigan District, but to our Synod and to our non-public schools here. Continue to keep up the good work. Blessings as you do that. Oh, one more thing. Let me ask you one more question. This weekend, by the time this airs, this will already have happened. We're going to have handed out the second annual Charles Winterstein Administrator of the Year Award. Matthew Kauser at awesome. Our Savior in East Lansing is the recipient this year, so he's going to get his plaque on Sunday. If you would, just a couple of words about Matt and his leadership, and maybe a little bit about Chuck and the memory that we're trying to keep of his ministry legacy.
Yeah. Just did Matt's NLSA visit at Our Savior and accreditation visit just this past a few months ago. And man, he's loved by his people just because he's genuine. I said before, and I say to some people, if you don't like Matt Kauser, you have serious character flaws. And I'm not sure I can be around you because you can't not like Mr. Kauser. Just a fantastic guy. Great leadership. Loves his people. I think he does these seven habits. It's just a part of who he is and what he does. So tremendously grateful for his leadership. Chuck, huge mentor of mine that I miss tremendously. All this stuff going on with Concordia. I can just hear Chuck right now, you know, some of those kind of things. But all the pieces of wisdom that he just gently, sometimes not so gently, shared with me over the years. I'm just so appreciative of his legacy and what he's done to bless Lutheran education in this area from synod level as well. Just an amazing leader who I know is enjoying his time with the Lord.
Excellent. Great place to end it. Travis, thank you again. Appreciate all you do. Blessings on the rest of this school year and on the work that you do on behalf of all of us here in the Michigan District.
Thank you, and blessings to LCM too, as you guys continue to do great things.
All right, so that wraps up another podcast. Thanks again to Travis. Thanks to Dave Klonke, our producer extraordinaire, who makes us sound good and eliminates all the errors and the mistakes that you didn't hear on this podcast, which there are a few. And thank you for your continued listenership. Click like, follow, sponsor, whatever the case may be with wherever you listen to your podcast. Share the podcast with other folks so they too can pick up some this great information and advice that we're trying to bring out to you each and every other week, every 2 weeks that we're doing now. But again, thank you all for listening. This has been the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Education Podcast, brought to you by Lutheran Special Education Ministries. For more information on this episode's topic or any other questions regarding Lutheran education or Lutheran Special Education Ministries, please feel free to contact us at 248-419-3390 or visit our website at www.luthsped.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.